The Everything Home Podcast is brought to you by Helping the People. We're a real estate company, home resource center, and nonprofit organization that's disrupting the home buying and selling experience by providing relationship-based real estate with a socially conscious purpose. We match home buyers and sellers with our preferred realtors, and 25% of their commission is donated to our Homes for Veterans program, which financially assists veterans who want to buy a home or need home improvements for their service-connected injuries. We created this program as a way for Americans to honor the men and women of the United States military for their service to our nation and the sacrifices they've made. So if you're looking to buy a home or it's time to sell yours, please give us a call at 833-694-6636 or visit our website at helpingthepeople.org. Not only will you be working with our realtors, who are among the top 1-5% in Arizona and the greater San Diego area, you'll be changing the life of a veteran while we change yours. That's 833-694-6636 and helpingthepeople.org. We look forward to you becoming a part of our very unique community.
Welcome to Everything Home, where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. Your home is the base for everything in your life, from the structure and contents to what goes on inside and within yourself. To make sure this foundation is solid as can be, we invite a special guest to share something you will find enlightening, inspiring, and entertaining. Now here's your host, Michelle Swinnick. Enjoy the show.
Today we're talking about real estate in Phoenix, Arizona. My guests are Leslie Gannell and Gina Curio, the Valley Girls residential team with Clients First Realty. They're preferred realtors for Helping the People's Homes for Veterans program. Helping the People is a 501c3 nonprofit organization and licensed real estate company. We match buyers and sellers with our preferred realtors, and 25% of their commission is donated to veterans who want to buy homes or need home improvements for service-connected injuries. So if you're looking to buy or sell your home, please contact us at 833-694-6636. That's 833-694-6636, or visit us on our website at everythinghomepodcast.com. You'll have the opportunity to work with wonderful realtors like Leslie and Gina, and you'll change the life of a veteran. I hope you enjoy getting to know these great ladies today. Are you there, ladies?
We are. How are you?
I am great. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you.
I really appreciate you participating in our program. It really means a lot that you have that confidence. What we're doing is right for a lot of people. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it would be our biggest privilege to help people that have served our country. Yeah, we think it's an amazing program. So thank you for including us.
You're welcome. We are always in a very unique situation here in Phoenix, whether it gets really, really bad or it gets really, really good, being in the marketplace compared to what's going on nationally. And then we can get into some specifics.
Well, what we've been noticing, especially since the first of the year, is that the market is hot right now, especially with the price range of 300 and below. We're noticing that homes that are priced within market value range that are, you know, pretty much move-in ready are gone within days, if not the first day they're on the market. And nationally, I know there's some markets that are, California, Nevada, are, you know, pretty much in line with where Arizona is, but I don't think the rest of the country is quite as hot as we are currently in Phoenix.
That's good and bad. Good because there's a lot of activity, but it's bad because it sounds like the inventory is going quickly and we've got low inventory anyway. And then what happens to the first-time homebuyers? They're getting to be priced out of the market almost, right?
We listed a property in Chandler, which is a hot area to begin with in the East Valley. And we listed it on Sunday, and we have over 12 offers right now, which is a big indicator, you know, and that one was priced at $239,900. And, you know, we have offers up to $250,000. Are they going to appraise? But it's very reminiscent of, you know, back in the day when you have people lining up outside to show the property. We're speaking to the agents that are working with these buyers in this price range. You know, we have buyers also in this price range, and we've been writing multiple offers and still have yet to get something accepted because it's so competitive. So it's great for sellers, but when you're working with buyers, especially first-time home buyers, it's very difficult right now.
There's a very short window of time that these people buy something, because let's just say that they're qualified for the max is that 240, 250. And now that that price bracket, that floor has been raised up, then they can't find anything. I mean, these people are ready to go, but because of what's going on right now, they might miss that window to buy something.
Statistically, new listings year to date, you know, from now 2018 compared to 2017 are up 4% for active listings, or for new listings, but active listings are down 7%. So that's showing that we're still listing, but they're going on the market and then going under contract right away. So our active inventory is what's lower. You know, we have more listings that have hit the market this year so far than last year, but they're not staying.
These big investors groups and even institutional money came in and bought just tons and tons of properties, probably now in that they'll be in that 300,000 and under range. Have you seen any of them starting to list those rentals for sale because they see that there is that demand, there's low inventory, and they really can get top dollar for these properties that they've had in their portfolio?
We are, and what's happening is they're getting their tenants out and then remodeling. So they're not necessary. They've held for a couple years, but mm-hmm. they look like flips, and they're coming on as, you know, freshly remodeled properties, which if they had put them on remodeled original, they would have been in a lower price range. But that's another reason why prices are going up, is because they're putting on these fresh remodels too, which is good for the neighborhood. But again, it's driving prices up.
Are you seeing that there's a lot of them coming on, or going to trickle in? Say they have a portfolio of 500 homes. Are they launching 100 for listings, or they're kind of testing the market to really see if it's the time to move them?
I think they're starting to trickle on. I'm seeing more and more, you know, properties for sale that are listed by investors that purchased them a few years back that are not an immediate purchase. So I do see that they're starting to trickle in, and I think we're going to see more of them as this year progresses.
Which hopefully that'll alleviate some of the inventory issues and maybe get those prices not to be a little bit out of control where you're in those bidding wars. Because overall, that's not healthy for a market to be that swings where it's extreme. You know, it's like you guys have been doing this for a long time. I mean, when I first started, the average appreciation was like 5 to 6%. Maybe even 7's pushing it. And that was comfortable and that was realistic. But when we have these swings like this, unless you are really just cashing out, or you sell high and you buy high. Yeah, I just sold for 300,000. The house that I go buy is now 6 and pick up that much extra square footage. But look at that mortgage payment.
Exactly. I mean, and that's what, like I said, it's great for buyers, but, you know, great for sellers, but not good for buyers. But those sellers are going to become buyers if they're not investors. So, you know, we do like a little bit of a balanced market for, you know, everything versus just great for sellers. And we are noticing, you know, if there's a house that's in bad condition or, you know, that's not in great condition, that's overpriced, they're sitting on the market. But the homes that are move-in ready, that are priced, you know, around market value, are the ones that are just not. They can't catch any ground on the market. They're just flying.
Probably also not seeing a lot of activity on that fix and flip because the acquisition price isn't low enough for an investor to come in and make that return that they want.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because we were talking about that the other day, that we have a few listings that generally we at least get 3 low ball cash investor offers on, and we have not even been getting those because even at the lower price range, they know that they're going to be gone. And even though they're cash, you know, our sellers would rather wait 30 days on a financed offer and make, you know, tens of thousands more than these cash offers. They're just not interested in them. And there's just not enough spread for the investors, so that we're just not even getting the offers anymore.
That's interesting. Investors are I don't want to say just one step ahead, but they're really, they look at the market because they're dealing with real cash, right? The rest of us are financing things, but they're dealing with cash and they're playing that game, and they know what buyers and what price brackets are in there and what they need in order to make it look pretty enough so it sells the top dollar and how long it's going to take. So when they pull back on some of those strategic ways to buy properties and look at the market, it should make people aware that there's things going on here that maybe a lot of people aren't talking about. And it's important, if you are looking to buy or sell, to talk to an agent, really do understand these type of things, because that information, as opposed to just somebody who throws a sign in the yard or doesn't, really not familiar with certain areas, can make a big difference, especially if you've got these multiple offers.
Right. Well, and the other thing that we're noticing in our higher price ranges, you know, sellers hear how amazing the market is, how things are flying in 1 or 2 days, this and that. But what they don't realize, they're not building, the inventory is so low in that price range, they're not building new builds in that price range unless you go to the far outlying areas. So there isn't much new inventory coming onto the market. However, 300 and above, we do have new builds in that market. So the home sellers that think their home is going to be sold in 2 days aren't realizing that they're competing with new builds as well in that price range. So there is more inventory in the higher price range. So it's not even just local, but it's, you know, price range dependent as far as inventory and demand.
When these sellers that have the properties that maybe need a little bit of work and they're not willing to bring the price down to the level maybe that it should to sell, you guys can only educate them so much on what's going on in the marketplace, and here is what your home should be worth and what the value should be at. Sellers always think their house is worth more, and they always think that they know the market better because they read an article. Give some information to the listeners now who are looking to sell that don't have that property that's turnkey ready to go, that put in all that money recently to do a remodel, to make it a little bit easier of a transition for them, so that they're not disappointed when they get that listing and they're not getting what they really want or what they think they should be getting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and when we look at comparable properties for prospective sellers, we look at comparable properties, not just same neighborhood, same square footage. You have to look at properties that were in similar conditions. So when we have a seller looking to list, we try to show them other properties that were in similar condition as theirs, and show them the days on market. You know, it might be 10 days on market for these move-in ready homes, but for homes that are dated, that haven't been updated, they're on the market for 42 days. And they've gone through 2 price reductions. So we really try and educate our sellers on all the details on that are pertaining to their particular property before putting it on the market, so there aren't any surprises.
Sellers need to realize that, yes, I know it's their home and they love it and they've maybe lived there for a long time, but they can't take it personally because they don't have the updates that all of these new homes have, or because people are watching all of these remodeling TV shows. That's what they picture in their head when they're looking to buy a home. Haven't updated your home in the past 5 to 7 years. It looks like it's totally dated, even though you just spent $40,000 on remodeling the kitchen and something else. Changes happen so quickly. I mean, years ago, I think you could get away with about 10 before it looks like it's a little dated. But nowadays, shows and these new things and all these different colors, the way that people do stuff. And then we have a lot of new home subdivisions. So that ruins it too. So they walk in and go, oh my God, this is amazing. They walk into resale home that's been around for even 5 to 20 years. And they go, oh God, look at all the stuff I got to do. I got to change this. I got to change that. I got to change that. Well, who really has that $20,000 to $50,000 to lay out? It's a tough position for the buyer and the seller. And of course, then all of that falls back on your shoulders to try to just talk somebody off the ledge and into reality.
Right. And the only compensating factor that you can get if you're competing with that is price and condition of the home, not necessarily updates, but is it clean? Is it decluttered? All those things that we coach our sellers. Does it have a new AC unit? You know, how old is the roof? Those are important also. Really push on our listings things that, you know, mechanically make the home a better investment.
I'm glad you brought up the roof, because that's something that's not covered under a home warranty. It's not something you can finance. And roofs are $10,000, $20,000, depending on what kind of a roof you have and how the square footage of your home. And that's just an average number.
a lot of your listings that people have replaced the roof at some point because they've lived there, or they just got lucky enough that the person did it before? Or are you finding now, because of the age of the properties, you get a little bit older and older, where now you have this deferred maintenance that maybe that's part of the reason why they're selling? They're like, I love the house, I like the mortgage payment, but this thing needs $20,000 or $30,000 of work and I don't have it, so it's time to move.
There's so many variables there, but if you remember back in, I think it was 2011, we had that huge hailstorm.
Oh, yeah.
So many roofs and ACs were replaced through insurance. So that was a time where I would say 30% of the listings were touting newer roofs and ACs. And those newer roofs and ACs are still, I mean, fairly new. Not fairly new, and probably half lifespan. Again, it just depends on the property. A lot of them were replaced after that storm.
It's like, we need one more storm this year. Throw in a new car, because the car is now 2010, 2011. Just a little hail, that's all we need.
New
sure.
ACs, new roof, and new car, that'll work. We also try to educate our buyers too. When we're out looking at properties, they might walk into a house and say, well, this kitchen hasn't been updated or it needs new carpet. But, you know, if it has a new roof and a new AC, we try to show them the value in that also, so that they can make their decisions educated, not just based on whether the property was remodeled or not.
What are you finding is the motivation behind the sellers in deciding to list their property? Because that kind of helps analyze where the market is. Why are people moving now? And then it makes you wonder, why are they not moving? Because there's not a lot of listings coming on the market. Yeah, you said it was up 4%, but we have low inventory. So it's like, why aren't people deciding to move? Or why are they deciding to move? Both of those questions.
As far as, we've had a couple listing calls from past clients in the last week or two. They're getting worried that we're at the top of the market. And if they don't sell now, then it's going to either plateau or start dropping off. They hear how busy we are and how everything's just flying off the shelf, and they want to take advantage of that and cash out while they can. As far as not selling, is because what are they going to find to replace theirs with? They're seeing the prices of what they paid for theirs and the replacement cost. So unless they've got a fair amount of equity in the property that they can cash out on and put down on a replacement, they're deciding to just sit where they're at.
People are stuck. I can afford to move, but then look what I'm going to be getting for the price. You might throw in an extra $100,000 in your purchase price to pick up what, another bedroom or another garage or maybe a little bit bigger lot. So does it make sense to add that much more on when you've moved before, especially somebody that has got kids? Regardless of what age, that's just a nightmare to just think about packing your whole house and then transitioning those people and making that whole move to that adjustment, unless it's absolutely necessary. You know, you suck it up. So we're a little cramped in the house today. And so we don't live in 4,000 square feet. We have to suffer in 3. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And we do have buyers that are relocating, you know, moving from one side of the valley to another, or, you know, if they're trying to upgrade, they have to go further out to get a newer house. So it's not that they're just moving, you know, within their same neighborhood and getting a better house. They're uprooting and moving to a whole new area, a new subdivision, a new city, a new school district. We do notice we have a lot of that, you know, moving from Chandler to Phoenix or from Buckeye to Surprise. I say generally it's for a job, for employment. On the flip side of that, there's been this tiny home movement, simplifying, downsizing, minimalism. So we've seen a lot of people not wanting that extra garage, not wanting that extra bedroom, and actually going the opposite way and wanting to live more simply and be more energy efficient and save money that way. All the millennials we have been really smart and good with their money, and they're interested in simplifying and not going overboard, like I did when I was young, where better are wanting to, you know, save money on their housing and keep their money for exploring the world. And so there are two different angles. There are some people that are growing their family and do need more room, but there is the other side as well. We used to sell these McMansions all the time, 3,000 to 4,000 square foot, very desirable. I'm not seeing that as much anymore. People are sticking in the 2,000 to 3,000 square foot range.
Are these millennials, are they buying townhomes and condos so they have that flexibility where they don't have the maintenance, they don't have all of those things that go along with taking care of a regular single family home?
Yes, those are definitely desirable to them. The only issues we sometimes run into is are the HOA fees in those subdivisions, because they have to qualify for their mortgage, plus they usually have a higher HOA fee, anywhere from like $150 to $250, sometimes $300, that they have to account for that convenience of not having the exterior maintenance.
As far as newer construction, condos or townhomes, or are the new builders strictly just sticking with the traditional single-family subdivisions?
There's definitely, especially in North Phoenix, there's been an influx of new builds for townhouses, patio homes, and condos. Even, you know, we've been seeing luxury apartments being built in Chandler and in North Phoenix around, you know, the big businesses, because those are desirable. And when someone moves for a job specifically, they usually start small and then they get bigger. Mm-hmm. So we do see, you know, an increase in the townhouse, patio homes being built by the new builders.
And they're really, really focusing on lifestyle. So we're seeing at these, you know, townhomes, multifamily units, dog parks, nice gyms, theater rooms, everything that you can get downtown, they're bringing it up north.
Where are some of these areas? A lot of people may be thinking, I really would like that, but I don't want to be in a family-oriented area. But newer places that are geared towards this lifestyle.
You see them popping up in family-style areas is what that's like the new trend that we're seeing. Over by Gore, in North Phoenix, off of I-17, north of Happy Valley, there is an influx of townhouses, patio homes, and apartments going up there that are focused on, they have amenities, and they're bringing that lifestyle to the family area.
And another thing to note on that, in that area, is we have a lot of huge employers right there. We have Cigna, Gore, USAA, a lot of employment right there, and the demand is high for housing around that employment.
This time of year, we always get calls from buyers out of state that are like, we want to be in Arizona.
They come for spring training, and they see how our weather is right now compared to where they came from. We get a lot of calls from people that are, hey, we were here on vacation and would like to look at some inventory, see what they can get. They can get a lot of bang for their buck here, especially when they're coming from California or a lot of the northern states.
Well, and at that point, once you tell them what the property taxes are, they probably say, I'm sorry, did you leave off the zero? Because that doesn't make
any sense.
Exactly.
Exactly.
What are your predictions on where things are going to go? Because we've been discussing, this is a unique market. You really are on the front lines, especially because the diversity of your buyers and your sellers. Because you're dealing with investors, you're dealing with some of these people who used to do the fix and flips when you guys were very active in handling short sales. You got to see that side and be into that investor world. So what do you see is going to be coming?
Well, with interest rates going up, I do think that that has impacted our market, because we had buyers that were kind of on the fence. They were looking to buy but weren't in a hurry. And as they see those interest rates climb, they are jumping off that fence and saying that they want to buy. So I do think that, you know, what the interest rates do is going to impact our market. I do feel that it's going to continue to stay hot the way it is, but it's going to have to give, it's going to have to plateau. But I do think it's still going to continue to be hot through the first half of 2018.
This is selling season. The weather is great and people are getting their tax returns back. So they have down payment money. And everyone that didn't want to move or look over the holiday season will join the market again in January, just getting their feet wet and getting back out there. But yeah, historically, this spring and fall are a good selling season. So we would be busy anyway, but we're really busy.
Comparing it to a year ago, this much busier than where you were.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dissect that. You're busier now. Interest rates are higher. Property values are more expensive. Now I'm busier. It's costing everyone more money to buy something than if they did it a year ago.
Exactly.
It's like anything else. You can take a sentence and you could read it one way and it's awesome. And you could read it the other way and think that the world's coming to an end. And it's the same words. So it's when you're looking at buying or selling right now, perfect time, or you could keep waiting, and then because you don't know what's going to happen or what should I do. But then again, 6 months, 12 months goes by, the rest of your life is going by too. So what, it costs you an extra $100 or $50 a month, but yet you got the house that you really wanted to live in. Don't really try to analyze all these other factors, because if the numbers make sense for what you can afford to buy and you like the house, then it makes sense to do something.
Exactly.
Is there a certain area that you just go, God, I can't believe what's going on here because it's amazing, or there's your sweet spot that you love to work with?
We like to work in North Phoenix because we were both born and raised here. We grew up here on this side of town, and we live here. So we know this market like the back of our hand, and we've seen, you know, the changes over the years and the growth and the development firsthand from growing up here. So definitely, I think North Phoenix is our sweet spot, what we like to focus on. Another area, and it's North Phoenix, far North Phoenix, that we like to do is like Desert Hills, New River, which is horse property. It's, you know, most of it's zone R43 rural, one house per acre. And we have been selling a lot in Desert Hills. And Desert Hills comes with its own set of Desert Hills, New River, Cape Creek, all those places. You know, most of the properties are on wells. They're on septic, so we've become very well versed in all that and the extra documents needed to buy and sell out there. But we definitely like that area.
Become an expert in property inspections when you're dealing with those type of properties, because there's so many things on there that are so unique. So all of a sudden it's like you guys picked up another expertise.
Yeah, exactly.
Final thoughts or a couple things that you can give to the listeners if they're looking to buy or sell, little tips that they can get ready, things that they need to be aware of to make their transaction a success.
For selling, pride of ownership goes a long way. Our market's hot, but if you're looking to sell, you've got to put the elbow grease into your property, and it will go a little, will go a long way. You know, making sure that you take, you know, a week or two to deep clean your house. Make sure that you touch up that paint. You know, keep deferred maintenance doesn't look good to buyers currently. They're looking for something that they can move into, and if they want to upgrade it or do something, they can, but they don't have to. So for selling, yes, the market's hot, but your home needs to be ready as well. It can't just throw it on the market and it will go under contract. And for buyers, you know, when you're ready to purchase, we got to be ready. We got to move quickly, and
you got to be willing to make a strong offer in this market. You can't, there's no low balls. There's no asking for $10,000 worth of closing costs. There, you got to discuss with your agent before you go in what's going to get the house.
This is now a serious business transaction. It's not, maybe before there was a little bit more flexibility where, yeah, I really like that one, and let's put the offer in to see if they take it. It's like, no, you're ready to go. You're putting on your buying hat. You're going out into the battlefield, and you're going to go get the,
yeah,
you're going to go get a house, and you're going to take it seriously. It's almost the point where that pre-qual letter from the lender is not enough. You're showing your best foot forward so that when there are multiple offers, somebody's like, oh, so you can close in basically 2 to 3 weeks. I'm taking this one. It's a different game now. There's no wishy-washy. This is a serious business. You want a house? We'll go get you a house. So you better put your big boy pants on and let's go. It's going to get a little crazy, but you're going to get what you want.
Exactly. Be prepared to leave the property and write an offer the second you leave, because that's what has to be done, especially if you love a property. Because if you like it, chances are the person that showed right before you likes it too. So got to be ready to move.
Working with someone like you, Leslie and Gina, you've already been through the battle where you have had these multiple offers, so you know exactly what to prepare the clients for, get them ready to say, hey, listen, like I said, this is serious business now, guys. So if you're ready to do this, I'll get you that offer. When the agents have multiple offers, they're working with their seller to review them. They might not pick the one that had the highest offer. They might pick it because the conversation that they had with the real estate agent who's representing them on the buyer side took that extra time to have that quality conversation, to go into the details about how their buyer is and how they, what they've been looking at and how long they've been working with them, things like that. And sometimes that's what makes the seller decide to take that offer. And you guys do that. You guys take those extra steps because you've been doing it for so long. And especially if you're in an area where, you know, like you said, like the back of your hand.
Well, yeah, we recently had a seller. We wrote an offer, and the seller is a veteran, and the buyer is a veteran. And I don't know necessarily that the buyer's offer was the best offer that was presented, but because they had that connection there,
both being in the Navy, that they, you know, that's who they went with. It's you got to build a backstory. You have to share your client's personal, a little bit of their personal information to try and build them up for the seller.
They have to write an essay to the seller as to why that they should be the chosen person in order to go ahead and have their offer accepted.
Exactly. I would say of the 12 offers we just got on our most recent listing, six of them had letters included. One had a photo of their family.
That's awesome.
So, the agents are hustling to get their clients seen in the best light. We've been agents for quite a long time. We're both brokers. We have realized, I mean, we go to the National Association of Realtor conferences. We are always doing continuing education, and we're really involved with other agents, not just in our office, but in different offices across the valley, and have some really good relationships built up just because we've been doing it so long. We've crossed transaction with a lot of good agents, and we know that the other agent is not our enemy. We want to get a good working relationship because everything just goes smoother for everyone all around.
It's an emotional roller coaster when you go through this process. And then there's a lot of moving parts that the clients don't necessarily understand or are aware of, that you, as the buyer's agent and the listing agent, work together behind the scenes. Having those relationships and long terms, and having so many transactions that you've done over the years, diverse ones, from the amazing ones to the ones that you can't even believe that it actually closed. you've had those. I mean, or it was just pure. By the time you figured out how much you got per hour, it was like $4 an hour, and you're like, "Well, I should just go drive for Uber because I make more money doing that." But it's cool to have that experience in those relationships to make everything that much easier. It's one of the reasons why I asked you to participate in our program, because the agents that we've invited, it's not open to every agent, and as I meet agents, and or I'm introduced to them, I have to get to know them if I like them, and if it's somebody that I would trust, basically like my mom working with in order to buy or sell a home. So appreciate you participating. I know that we're going to be helping a lot of veterans.
Well, we appreciate your confidence in us, and we are really excited about this program. We can't wait to get started.
Would you ladies give your contact information on the website so that any of the listeners look interested in working with you, they can get to know you a little bit better?
Valley Girls Residential Team with Clients First Realty. Gina Corio and Leslie Gannell. Our website is www.landandhomesaz.com. You can also find us on www.clientsfirstrealty.com on our company's website. You can reach us at 602-628-4524.
Thank you very much, ladies. I'm definitely going to have you back on. We're going to do some showcasing on some of those listings and some open house promotions for you guys. So thank you again, and you guys have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Michelle. You too.
You've been listening to Everything Home. We were talking with Leslie Gannell and Gina Corio with Clients First Realty, Valley Girls Residential Team. They're one of our preferred real estate teams that we work with through Helping the People. And anyone's interested in working with them, or if they're in another section of town, we have a lot of great agents that we work with. And 25% of their commissions is donated to Helping the People, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization and real estate company. And what we do with those proceeds is we donate those to veterans who want to buy homes or need home improvements for their service-connected injuries. Information will be on our website, which is everythinghomepodcast.com. You can always give us a call at 833-694-6636. If you're looking to buy, sell, or finance, please contact us, and we'll make sure that you have the best possible service. Again, you're going to be helping change someone else's lives. Have a great day, everybody.
You've been listening to Everything Home with Michelle Swinnick.